Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Old Men and the Three ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good, but that's when you say to yourself, it's time to get back in the game and take as much of my friend's money as I possibly can. That's right. The hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to be the biggest tycoon ever. It's classic Monopoly, but anytime with tons of twists. Play on countless Monopoly boards, charge your friends rent, or smash their landmarks with a wrecking ball. You can even team up with friends for extra rewards. So put on your game face and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play. You know, these long West Coast trips to call games have given me the gift of time. Time to put on some headphones and listen to my favorite audio titles on Audible. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. From bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries, and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. Now, I personally love a good murder mystery, and I'm currently listening to An Honest Man by Michael Corita. It's about murders on a yacht. What more do I need to say? As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/JJ or text JJ to 500-500. That's audible.com/JJ or text JJ to 500-500. Welcome to The Old Man and the Three with JJ Redick and Tommy Alter. Brought to you by 342 Productions. This is episode 141, Desmond Bain. Tommy, lots going on in the NBA.
A lot.
We should mention that we are at the halfway point right now. And I think it's a good time to go back and just briefly, very briefly, go through some of our preseason predictions.
Let's do it.
Just the ones that stand out. Again, you don't know about injuries. You don't know about availability. Clippers were, I think, hard for both of us to some degree. You got it. I think I remember you saying this. You said something along the lines of, I don't think Kawhi is going to play enough games for them to be as high as one or two in the standings. You had them fifth. They're currently sixth. I had them as high as two in the Western Conference. So that's one in the West that jumps out for me. We've mentioned this many times, but we'll mention it again. You had Boston sixth in the East.
I think it will go down probably as one of the worst picks, if not the worst pick to ever be made on this podcast. And there's just no defense for it. I mean, my logic then I thought made sense at the time, but did not.
I don't remember your logic.
My logic was I thought there was going to be a learning curve with Joe.
Okay.
So they were going to start slow. And I thought the defense was going to take a little bit of a drop.
With Rob being out,
because I thought he was going to be out until around the All-Star game. Obviously, that did not happen. And offensively, they've exploded. And so I'd say from opening night, it looks stupid. And I even said, I think the second show, that I wish I could have had that pick back. And it's kind of looked stupider since then. So when they win the championship, it's going to look even stupider.
I'll give you another one of your stupid picks.
Let's hear this.
You had the Pistons in the play-in. Ninth.
I did.
You had them in the play-in.
Yep.
Yeah. They've got the second worst record in the NBA. We talked about it. We were both high on them.
And it's also, that's a total crapshoot. I mean, Cade not playing. Like, there's so many, they have a lot of good young players on that team. I feel like picking the 9 and 10 seeds in the conferences are a little bit of like,
a crapshoot.
Who the fuck is? I mean, we're about to talk about the Pacers in a second. Neither of us thought the Pacers were going anywhere. This is now a 6 seed in the East that is competitive with everybody, you know, and is beating the Celtics the only time they've played them this year. I think the only pick of yours that I feel like is a little questionable looking back is you had Denver 6.
Yeah, that's the one I starred.
Yeah.
That's the one I highlighted as a bad pick.
And that may be the best team in the West.
Yeah, they were 6th last year, and they get Michael Porter Jr. back. They bring in Bruce Brown. Christian Brown, by the way, has been great for them. Jamal Murray comes back. Jokic is awesome. I fucked that pick up.
The other team we both overrated, I overrated more than you, was Minnesota. I mean, that's the big disappointment, I think, probably across the league, not just in the Western Conference, but
Yeah, and the Suns have had injuries. We both were relatively high on them. You had them third. I had them fourth. I had the Pels fifth. You had the Pels sixth. Like, we for the most part, we had a lot of these teams. We had the Lakers, both of us, I think, in ninth, playing-ish. Blazers, playing-ish. So we didn't have any egregious ones. The one thing we should mention, you brought up Indy. So Indy is currently in sixth place. There are five games as of today, as of this recording. Currently, five games above 500. You've got a real shot to get in the playoffs. When the odds opened on DraftKings Sportsbook, before the season to participate in the play-in tournament, Indy was at plus 1400. Right now they're at minus 160. They're actually minus 160 to make the playoffs as well. I didn't expect them to be good. I didn't. And I actually referenced them actually now tanking and going for the bottom and trying to get a high draft pick, which historically they haven't been able to do because they've sort of lived in that middle. And Tyrese has been amazing. Buddy Hield's had a great season. Mathurin has been one of the standout rookies. Miles Turner probably is having his career year. Nemhard.
Yeah, they have a lot of good. Yeah. They have a lot of good young players. One thing about the Pacers in particular, I wanted to ask you about that. I thought was there was a good SI article about this a couple of days ago. I think stands out for why they've succeeded this year. They were horrible in the clutch last year. Mm-hmm. They were 11-34 with games decided by less than 5 points. Right now they're 16-10, and they're 7-1 in their last eight games that are like this. And obviously, the eight is sort of a small sample size, but is that just Tyrese taking the jump? Because it does feel like that is a difference of why this is a team that's a team that could compete for a potentially top five seed in the East versus a team playing in the lottery. It's just these end of game moments.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched all 26 clutch games of theirs, but I've watched a number of them. What stood out to me is execution and control. And so even though they have young guys, I do think they execute really well in the clutch. Rick has always been great with diagramming plays. But the other part is Tyrese's control and his patience and poise. We saw that in the fourth quarter, that Clippers game, that pass he made to Nembhard to beat the Lakers, where he could have probably taken a very forced shot and instead throws a left-hand cross-court pass on time, on target, right in his shooting pocket. So I think a lot of it is Tyrese's poise and control. I am blown away, though. I rechecked the odds on this, too. To start the season, they were plus 2,500 to make the playoffs. I think they're a playoff team. I don't know if they fall back into that 7-9 spot, but I do think they're a playoff team.
They've also played well against the top of both conferences. They've only played Boston once, but they beat them. They're 2-2 against Brooklyn, but there were some injuries for one of the games they lost. And they played Philly tough. They obviously played Miami well. I was going to ask about Buddy. Buddy's having his best 3-point shooting season since, I think, 2016 or 17 in SAC, but definitely over the last couple of years, he's shooting 42.6 from 3 on 9 attempts. Do you feel like that's a guy that people have almost like slept on a little bit?
No. Buddy has been a great shooter. If you look at sort of young players or players early in their careers, 3-point totals through 3 years, through 4 years, through 5 years, he's always been like in NBA history towards the top of that list. He's always been a great shooter. He's getting better shots this year. I don't remember the exact statistic, but I saw something on Twitter about the number of wide open shots that he's gotten, 3-pointers specifically, wide open threes that he's gotten. It's the most that he's gotten since his rookie year when he played in New Orleans. So I think some of that is Rick, some of that is Tyrese, some of that is Miles Turner. Miles Turner, to me, in watching, does such a good job and has such a good feel of when to pop, when to short roll, when to fully roll. Their game the other night, Tyrese hit him twice for these pocket passes where he dunked on someone. And then other times you see him popping and Tyrese throws it back and he knocks down a three. So he kind of opens things up as much as it's Tyrese and as much as Buddy. I think having Miles Turner there and playing the way he's playing, he opens things up for them. Their offense has been top 10 for most of the season.
We should say before we move on, Tyrese still top five in Raptor.
Oh, man.
Still top five.
Shout out to our friends at StatMuse, who I will admit I've made fun of some of their tweets. But this is a good tweet that they've had. Like, this is why I follow StatMuse. They posted the other day, Tyrese Haliburton this season, first in assists, fourth in steals, ninth in threes, the only player in the top 10 for all three categories this season. He's having an all-star season. Grizz, by the way, again, going back to our predictions, I had them at third in the West. You had them at seventh, which I felt like was really low at the time. They're currently tied for first. It was low. Thank you. And right now they have they're tied for sixth with the best NBA championship odds. I have mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. I put some money on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, one of the things
I got much better odds than plus 1,000.
One of the reasons
I took it a while ago.
One of the reasons it's definitely low, which I'm sort of curious about, and I don't have the specific numbers in front of me because it's changed over the last couple of weeks, but these guys, and we've talked about it a little bit, these guys are so good at winning without Ja and winning without Bane, and how good those two are. I mean, those are two, they're the best guards in the league, and Bane especially has missed a ton of time this year, and they don't miss a beat.
I'm glad you brought this up.
You know, they're so deep.
I've got this right here, right in front of me. Tyus Jones in seven games as a starter this season, 21 points a game, 64% true shooting percentage, 50% from three, 7.7 assists. This is the most remarkable stat, a 4.9 assist to turnover ratio, over two steals a game, and a plus 6.6 per 100 possessions. It feels a little bit like Jalen Brunson, right? Where Tyus could be a full-time starter as a point guard and run a team on almost any team, and he just happens to be Ja Morant's backup.
Yeah. And then we've talked about this last week, but Jaren Jackson defensively, it feels like that's, if he stays healthy, that's the runaway defensive player of the year.
The runaway?
Maybe not runaway. I don't like using the word runaway. I don't like
you.
Like,
shouldn't have.
Nothing's.
We'll take the word back.
Nothing's indefinite. I would say he's the favorite.
He's in
defensive player of the year.
He's one of, I think, two favorites. Meaning, there's a special class of favorites.
Okay.
Him and Brooke. I got him and Brooke.
Okay.
All right.
That's
as my two favorites.
See. Let's check back in. We'll check back in June and see where that's at.
Grizz, by the way, currently have the third best odds. They're trailing the Warriors and Nuggets to win the Western Conference. They're at plus 475. They open at plus 800. You bring up, is this player getting slept on? Is it, to me, these odds to start the year for them felt a little low given their season last year, how well they played at times without Ja Morant, and how tough of a series that was against the Warriors in the second round. They lost the series, but there were few games that could have swung either way.
Can I raise a theory for why that may have been? Is, do you think that some of this is people thought last year was a fluke? Because these were a lot of guys who I think are probably household names now, but were not household names last year. They would talk about it all the time. They were not on national TV a lot. They were not before the playoffs, they were not necessarily, besides Ja, who's sort of an undeniable superstar.
People who make odds don't care about whether people watch TV. People that make odds how good a team is.
So then why were they slept on?
I don't know. We'll have to talk to our friends at DraftKings.
Yeah, I think we should.
When I throw down on the NBA action, it's got to be with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings Friday Night Favorites. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app using code JJ, opt in, and place a two-leg pregame moneyline parlay, and you'll get a 50% profit boost. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JJ. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Just a little reminder, we have a newsletter, A Farewell to Takes. Very easy to subscribe to it. It's free. Go on any of our social channels, or you can go on 342.com and you can find a little button that says subscribe. And that newsletter comes out every Monday. You know what else comes out every Monday? our exclusive Amazon Music episode, The Old Man and the Three Things. Tommy and I riff on three things around the NBA every week. It's very topical. It's a deep dive. It's one of our favorite things that we get to do at 342. So please go give that a subscribe as well. Let's get to our conversation with Desmond Bane. All right, let's welcome in Desmond Bane. Desmond, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time.
My man, good to be back.
It is good to be back. We had you on around this time last year. I was singing your praises early in the season. Tommy knows this. I think I texted you actually when I was going on countdown. I was talking about your early start, and then you had your toe injury. And I think it's really interesting because Brandon Ingram also has a toe injury. And I'm trying to figure out what it feels like to have a big toe sprained. What is the limitations? What is the hesitancy?
Bro, that shit is no joke. Like, Like, it was weird because when I first hurt my foot, it was in like the third quarter of the Timberwolves game. And I finished the game. I ended up playing well. And I go to the locker room and one of our trainers, I was like, yo, can I get an ice bucket? You know, my foot's a little sore, whatever. And one of our PTs come in, he's like, yeah, let me take a look at it. And he was like, yeah, I think you got turf toe. And I was like, I mean, I really don't know what that is. Like, he was like, well, it's intricate. Let's go get an x-ray first. And then the doctor was like, no, I think you broke your foot. And I ended up seeing like three different doctors. It was a crazy process, but I mean, you use your big toe for everything. I mean, to push off, to jump. And I had like bone injury as well. Like my sesamoid is still in two pieces, like to this day right now. So that's something that I'll probably have to get taken care of in the off season, you know, but it's just, like, you never know how much you need to use your big toe until you can't use it. It's just crazy.
I was looking these stats up today because I think it's really interesting. We're recording this on Thursday. You guys are currently tied for first in the Western Conference. You're tied for the second best record with Denver overall in the league. And Ja has missed 7 games. You have missed 20 games. And Jaren has missed 16 games. Those are your three leading scorers. And obviously, Steven has been in the lineup. Tyus has been in the lineup. Dylan has been in the lineup. But arguably, your three best players have missed a significant amount of time. And you guys are sitting here in a great position. And I really do not know a lot about Taylor Jenkins. And I'm trying to figure out, what is he like? Does he yell? Has he ever smiled? Has he ever smiled?
He loves a smile. He's actually very corny. Like, he's like a very corny dude, you know, little side jokes here and there. But man, like, he got a great heart. Like, that's like the first thing that really stood out to me, you know, when I got down to Memphis, was just his care factor, you know, for us as players, for the team, you know. And it's easy to play for a coach just like that and instills confidence in all of us, let it fly. I mean, no disrespect to any of the players that we have on previous teams, but, you know, some of our guys are shooting in the 20%, you know, they're low 30s, you know, just not really shooters. And, you know, he still let it fly. If you're open, we all got confidence in you, let it fly. So it's like, just go out there and hoop, you know, have fun. We're going to get stops. We're going to play with our swag. We're going to talk our talk and, you know, walk the walk.
We were talking about Tyus Jones the other day, and JJ was just saying, like, this is a guy that could easily be a starting point guard in the NBA, depending on the situation.
No doubt.
Do you just think, and this just goes, you know, 9-10 deep with how you guys play, do you feel like this mentality of, like, not that obviously, like, you guys getting hurt is not a good thing, but there's a blessing in the fact that, you know, you're out, Ja's missed some time, Jaren's missed some time. There's a blessing that they're thrown into the fire, and it's not like, oh, we just need to rely on these two dudes to carry us all year.
No doubt. I mean, especially like it's big during the regular season. Obviously, depth is important, but, you know, come playoff times, you know, that rotation's cut down to 8 or 9 guys, and, you know, you got to rely on those guys in high pressure situations. And, you know, Tyus obviously is, you know, a starting caliber point guard and backs up arguably the best point guard in the league now. So he doesn't really get, you know, the minutes or the shine that, you know, he probably deserves. But You know, I mean, we got Zaire Williams, John Conchar, Santi Aldama has been huge for us this year. It's like all these guys just end up stepping up. You know, we lost Melt, lost KA, didn't know how everything was going to look. Those are two experienced guys that played a big part in our rotation. And it's like guys just step in and there's no drop off.
We asked you about the culture last year of the Grizzlies, and I have so many questions about your teammates. And you just brought up John Conchar, and he's got a similar sleeve. And I want to make one point real quick. The last possession of my NBA career, when my Achilles was fucked up, John Conchar came down in on the fast break. I was backing up, and he tried a Euro step. He missed a shot. I got called for a foul or whatever. But when I stepped on my right foot, my Achilles just like, you know, whatever. It was done. I walked off the court. Yeah. And I was like, that's my last NBA game. I knew it at the time. But it seems to me like he's got some sauce to him.
For sure.
But he's like an IUPUI guy.
that's probably the best way to put it. I mean, he has a little shit to him, but he's an IUPUI guy. IPFW, whatever you want to call it. But he just does his job. I mean, it's weird. Like, John's like the guy that's always in the right spot. Like, he's going to come up to you and whisper in your ear in the layup lines, like just some corny shit. Like, he's a cool ass dude, man. One of a kind. He's an interesting cat.
We were talking about with you last time about you guys talking and how it bothers some other teams. And obviously a lot has happened, and we'll get to some of the stuff that's happened sort of since the last time you were on. But I'm curious with some of the new guys and some of the younger guys, like, are they coming in talking shit, or are they like kind of quiet and they're basically watching you guys and they're like, all right, for me to like fit in, I got to up it a little bit.
I think that's a good question. I mean, because I feel like it's in some of those guys, like, but you know, once you see the leaders of the team, you know, not backing down from anybody talking their talk, I think that it just kind of flows. You know, Santi Aldama, I heard him talking shit to somebody and I was like, where in the hell is this coming from? You know what I'm saying? But that's just our team, man. That's the way we rock.
You guys realize there's a lot of NBA fans who feel like you guys are annoying. Do you realize that? I'm not saying you are annoying. I'm saying there's people that feel like you're annoying.
I can see it. I mean, you know, we got Dylan Brooks who doesn't shut up, Ja Morant all up in the media, you know, Steve-O doing his Steve-O things. I can see it for sure.
Speaking of Dylan, Tommy and I have become obsessed with this. Do you follow advanced stats at all? Do you pay attention to that stuff?
I see some of it. Yeah, I see some of it.
So there's a 538, Nate Silver's website has a all-encompassing stat called Raptor.
Yeah.
And Dylan Brooks, on Twitter at least, is a very polarizing player. Now, I happen to be a fan of Dylan Brooks, despite the fact that him and Coach K got into it when Oregon beat Duke. I have no issue with that. But I was looking this up today. So he's 14th in the league in defensive Raptor. Raptor's the 538 stat. And he's tied with Jose Alvarado for 36 overall. Best player in the league for wins above replacement player. What do you think? I want to get your sort of opinion on why he's so polarizing, but what do you think his real value is?
I mean, that's a great question. I don't think you can measure it. I mean, because of all the things he does, not only on the basketball court, I mean, he's the first guy in the facility, you know, every day. He's in the facility 7 days a week, you know, off day, lockout day, regardless, whatever it is. He's in there getting body work or whatever the case is. And then 82 games, you can count on him guarding other teams' best player, whether it's a point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward. It really doesn't matter. You know, and the edge and the intensity that he brings night in and night out just kind of wills our team, you know, especially if it's, you know, Orlando on a Tuesday night, second game of back-to-back. We just played San Antonio twice after playing three games in 4 days, you know, like guys like that are you know, in those stretches of the season, for sure.
I took Tommy. We were both at the Knicks game last night. to watch Tyrese play, and TJ McConnell had a big game. And I obviously am a big TJ fan. He's like a brother to me, but I had two people in the stands during the game that, you know, they knew who I was. They were asking me questions about the NBA. And when TJ started killing, they're like, every team needs a TJ McConnell.
For sure.
And I feel like every team needs a Dylan Brooks. And I
same brought up, thing can be said.
Yes. And I brought up Taylor. And I'm curious the dynamic, because a lot of the polarization about Dylan is not defensively, it's offensively in the shot selection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I feel like one of the strengths of a coach is to give players freedom.
For sure.
So where does sort of that dynamic play out in real time?
There's definitely a healthy balance. You know, I mean, I think when Dylan first got in the league, he was on, you know, Grizzlies teams that weren't necessarily as competitive, you know, so he might have developed some habits, you know, where he's the go-to guy. I mean, the go-to offensive option. And then you draft John Morant, Jaren Jackson, and bring some other guys into a fold. So it's like, you know, you got to kind of defer to those guys. The ball's going to be in their hands, and now you kind of got to be an off-ball scorer, you know, and, you know, pick your spots. You know, so there's obviously been battles, but I think DB's been great, you know, this year, especially just buying in and being more of a playmaker, you know, kind of taking what the defense gives them, not forcing a lot of those non-restricted area two-point field goals that he's done in the past. You know, he's trying. I mean, he's a winner, you know, so it's not like he was taking those mid-range shots and those fall-away shots thinking that, oh, I got to get mine. Like, he just felt like that was the best option, I'm sure, on the floor. And that's one of the things that makes him so good, though, is his confidence. You know, nobody's shaking his confidence. So anytime DB shoot, I think that there's a chance that it's going in, no matter. It's going to look one or two ways. It's either going to look crazy and miss, or it's going to look crazy and it's going to go in.
Wait, hold on a second. I have to interject here, because when I watch him shoot, I feel like there's such variation in form.
For sure.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
So his shooting pocket is low, first of all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But his follow through, to me, there's such a variation. I play with a guy, you probably know who he is, but I play with a guy, this guy, Hedo Turkoglu,
yeah,
who I used to tell him all the time when he was, especially on free throws, I'm like, dude, you can never be a good free throw shooter if you're shooting a different way every time.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, sometimes it's like DB's shooting the ball with one hand. Like, it's like one arm's all the way up in the air and the other was left arm's like right here. But I mean, that shit goes in sometimes. So it's like, just do what you do. You know, we shoot now every shoot around after practices and stuff, making 5 out of 6, really focusing on balance and stuff like that. And I think that it's helped translate a little bit, but, you know, it's just like anything, just trying to develop those healthy habits.
What do you think makes Jaren so special defensively?
I mean, he doesn't care. You know, every good shot blocker, you know, is fearless at the rim. You know, he's been dunked on. He got dunked on last night by Sohan. I don't know how many blocks he had, but I'm sure it was over 2 or 3. I mean, every game, it seems like he's changing things for us on that end. I mean, I had to look up yesterday. I was like, man, I got to know what this dude's wingspan is. And online, you know, it says 7-foot wingspan. And, you know, we talk about that care factor that Dylan Brooks has, and it's something that kind of feeds in the Jaren, you know, it feeds in the job, feeds into me, it feeds into Steve-O, you know, really just to come out and play with that fire every night. And Jaren's anchoring our defense. I mean, since he's came back, we became one of the best defense in the league.
We should also mention that Paolo Banchero also dunked on Jaren Jackson Jr.
I don't know. We don't have to talk about that one.
If you've been following the pod, you know I'm stepping my suit game up as I'm calling more and more games. So shout out Indochino for getting me all prepared for this home stretch of games. It's also wedding season, so you can get in on looking great. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into the wedding season looking like $1 million, even though the suits start at just $499. You can either book an appointment at one of their showrooms or do what I did and set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. I just ordered a nice plum suit with pinstripes. I'm trying to tap into my inner Walt Frazier, and I think it's working. The entire process was super simple, and the suit fits great. That's the sweet spot. So look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code OLDMAN to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code OLDMAN. If you're like me and appreciate great quality, easy-to-wear clothes in your closet, let me introduce you to Rails. They're a Los Angeles-based brand that blends their California roots with an elevated European aesthetic, and the fabrics feel as good as they look. From super luxe button-downs and essential outerwear to vacation-ready shorts and tees, Rails is consciously crafted for the modern man on the move. With the sun coming out, I recently got myself a few short sleeve button downs, and they are super light and comfortable. Try Rails for yourself at their flagship stores in New York, San Francisco, Boston, London, Paris, and beyond, or at rails.com. And take 15% off your order with the code JJ. That's 15% off with code JJ at RAILS.com.
Desmond, I'm trying to figure this out as an observer, and Tommy chides me all the time because I'm an unabashed Memphis Grizzlies fan.
He's a super fan. borderline restraining order.
It's the reason I'm watching Memphis Orlando on League Pass. You know, it's like if Memphis is on, I'm watching them.
Yeah.
But I'm an outside observer, and I see you guys dancing in the tunnel before the game. I see Ja making the comments that no one in the West bothers him. I see Dylan Brooks's body language during the Golden State game. I actually said the Golden State punked y'all, but watching Dylan Brooks, I'm like, he's a tough dude. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out Who is the heartbeat? Who is the soul? I think every team has a soul, has a heartbeat. Who's the heartbeat of your team?
That's I mean, I think I got to point to Dylan Brooks again. I mean, it's Dylan Brooks, it's Ja, it's everybody kind of does it in their own way. You know what you're getting out of Steve-O. He might not be as vocal, but you know he's going to be that physical presence. Jaren doesn't speak a lot, but his presence is felt. You know, I'm probably the one that honestly speaks the most, you know, in timeouts and huddles and stuff like that. But Tyus Jones does a great job leading off the bench. I mean, and that's a sign of great teams, you know, when you have four, five, six guys that you can count on to, you know, kind of lead. I think that if I had to point to one guy as a heartbeat, I think I got to say Dylan Brooks. But, you know, I think that as a collective unit, we all try to lead.
Tommy, did you hear what he just said? He said the sign of great teams.
I was gonna say, do you guys feel a little bit obviously you haven't accomplished everything you want to accomplish, but do you feel a little bit, even from like this time last year, like you've gone from being like the hunters to the hunted? Because you were sneaking up on people a little bit last year and now everybody knows.
It's crazy you say that because Coach Jenkins loves that. Like, and Ja obviously talks about it. We went through a little stretch when I was out, when we were losing some games, you know, and that was like his message. You know, I mean, we're being hunted. You know, every time we walk into somebody's arena, their fans are, you know, going to pack the place. Everybody wants to see the Memphis Grizzlies. People got to circle it on their calendar. You know, not only because we're a good team, but we also talk our shit, you know, so it's like guys ain't going to forget that next time we come around. So, you know, I think that we've done a good job of understanding that and, you know, taking the right mentality and approach to each night.
Speaking of talking your shit, I feel like there's a budding rivalry. Budding rivalry, because a rivalry only happens when you meet multiple times in the playoffs, but there's a budding rivalry with you and the Warriors.
Yeah.
And you guys have talked some shit and they have talked some shit. How do you sort of view the relationship there between those two teams?
I mean, I think that obviously Golden State gets, you know, all the credit for everything that they've accomplished, you know, up to this point. But, you know, I mean, I think that that's a team that we look at and, you know, feel like we can accomplish similar things. I mean, obviously we haven't won a championship, so we don't know exactly what it takes to get there and, you know, win a championship. But, you know, I mean, we're young, we're up and coming. We got a core group of guys that love playing together and being together. You know, so I think that they're kind of, you know, they've come out and said in the media, I heard Kerr say it, you know, this might be the end. Who knows what this team looks like in a couple of years. And, you know, we're kind of on a different trajectory than that. So I think that that kind of plays into, you know, some of the rivalry there.
Do you, when you look back at that series, because this is a thought that I had as a player, when I looked back at opportunities and series that came down to a few plays.
Yeah. And
even though they beat you guys in six games, 4-2, I look back at that series from last year in the Western Conference semifinals, and I look at that series as much closer than it looked.
For sure.
Especially given the game winner in game one.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like honestly, a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we're in our place, you know, basically in control pretty much the whole game, back and forth game, you know, and Klay Thompson hits a big shot and, you know, Ja comes down, miss a layup. We go down 0-1 at the crib, end up tying at 1-1. You know, if we win that first game, we're 2-0 going into their building. We sneak a game there and now it's 3-1. You know, we're coming back to our place. So it's the margins are slim. I mean, you know, the margins are so slim in the playoffs. And I think that's what we've learned. You know, I think you need that experience to kind of get you over the hump with your preparation, you know, not only game playing with your body and everything leading up to the playoffs. I mean, we were banged up. I was hurt. Ja was, he hurt his knee and obviously couldn't play. So DB was banged up. I mean, we were all banged up. So hopefully this year we can go into the playoffs a little bit healthier and, you know, make some noise again.
Specifically with that series, though, because I agree with you that you gain so much from experience in playoffs, regardless of a series outcome, regardless of the opponent, but specifically with the Warriors who eventually became champions. What did you learn from them? What did you learn from playing them so tough in a series?
They have that championship pedigree. I mean, you know, I feel like we had them on the ropes, you know, a couple of times, and it was just that calmness. Like, you know, we've been here before. You know, obviously we try to emulate that, but we hadn't been there. Nobody on our roster had been in the second round of the playoffs besides Steve-O. And Steve-O was played out of the rotation. You know, he wasn't even really playing. You know, so I think that that was something that we could take from that. And we could also take that we're close. I mean, obviously, you know, that's a team that goes on to win the championship. And rightfully so, they played well. They deserved the win. But like you said, we played them down to the wire. And, you know, we got a lot to be proud of, but also a lot to build on and get better from.
This year, it feels like both of the conferences are sort of wide open to a certain extent. There's a lot of kind of everyone's pretty close. Is there anyone in the West in particular that you've been impressed by, maybe even like a little bit surprised by, either like a team or a player?
Team or a player in the West that I've been surprised by? I mean, I think honestly, just like how Jamal Murray's came back from injury. I mean, I think that he's looked good given the fact that he's missed so many games. And, you know, Denver's always been good near the top of the standings. And I think that he's somebody that, you know, kind of takes them into a different category. You know, Luka's been huge, but no James Harden-like type numbers. You know, but I think they losing Jalen Brunson hurt a lot. You know, missing another playmaker out there, it's a lot for Luka to have to carry that load night in and night out. Sacramento has been good. Offensively, you know, they got a bunch of guys making shots and playing well. So I mean, the West, like you said, it's just weird. I mean, because going into the season, everybody's saying Clippers, Golden State again, us, you know, I mean, New Orleans is obviously...
Hold on. Everybody except Tommy. Everybody except Tommy.
Tommy, you a hater, bro? What's up with you?
He had in seventh in the West.
I'm not in fucking seventh. How crazy is that?
You know what's crazy? Hold on, Desmond. You know what's crazy?
Can you tell me why, please?
Yes, Tommy.
Yeah,
please tell me why.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because I knew you guys are really good, and I knew what was going to happen, which was all these teams were going to be... Everybody was going to be separated by like two or three games. And I wanted to pick a surprising team. So I picked New Orleans higher. I picked New Orleans, I think, either fifth or sixth. And I basically, I should have picked you guys. I don't regret picking Golden State one. I should have picked you guys two. I had Denver two, which actually holds up well. I think what's funny, though, because JJ just did this to me literally a week ago with Fred, every time he makes a dumb fucking call on the show, I shut up and I don't say anything. And anytime we have someone on the show where I say something, he makes sure to bring it up. So you know what? Like,
Tommy, it's fine. I will say, I will admit when I'm wrong.
I was completely wrong. And I will also say that his fandom has passed over to me because you guys are objectively the most fun team to watch in the league, not just because of how you play, but the talking. Like, that was the case last year, but it's also the case this year.
But part of this though, Tommy, part of the reason I was like very bullish on the Grizzlies, by the way, I loved D'Anthony Melton and I did think that was going to hurt you guys losing him. But part of the reason I was bullish, was because of the playoffs last year. And not only that, like, keep in mind, Ja was hurt, Desmond was hurt, and they still had a very competitive series against the Warriors. When did your back start hurting? Because I actually brought up your splits from the playoffs last year. And I want to point this out because it was Minnesota series. You averaged 23.5. Your counting stats were good. Your floor game was good. 50% from the field, 49% from three. And then you sort of dropped off. Your shooting was still good. You still shot 48% from three. But it was 14 a game. And in watching it, you clearly weren't moving correctly.
It was crazy. Like, so game one of the Golden State game. But first off, it was crazy. Obviously, Golden State handled business in the Denver series 3-1 or 4-1, whatever it was. So we finished at like 10 o'clock on Saturday night or Friday night. And we played Golden State in an early game on Sunday. So we basically had 36 hours to recover after a series. Our first series that we won, I mean, we won it on the road in Minnesota, so I had to travel back. And I go into that first game and everybody was kind of just, you know, we're trying to muscle up the energy. Obviously, it's another series to kind of turn the page. And the first play of the second half, I come like just to do a normal mid-range jump shot. And it's like I planted, instead of playing on my toes, I kind of missed my footing and planted on my heels. And I just felt like my back just crunched. And I finished the game, you know, and then I wake up the next morning and I kid you not, I could show y'all a picture, I'll text to you after this. But my spine is like, it's like curved. Like I'm standing up and it's like half of my body's this way and the other half is like straight. I'm calling the trainers like, yo, like something's up with me. Like, I think I broke my back. And as soon as they saw the picture, they're like, you got to get an MRI right away. And I got the MRI and basically I had a herniated disc in my back. And it was like the way my body was trying to cope with it, it was getting away from the disc. And I had like a lateral shift. So like, I thought I was out. I thought my season was over. Like I thought I was done. And obviously, you know, they give you all type of medicine and all that stuff. And I felt good enough to play. So I played in like game two, game three. I didn't really, like, I was just out there almost like a decoy, you know, and then game four, five and six is when I kind of started feeling like myself again, pushing the ball in transition, being able to run. But there for like two or three, four or five days, whatever it was, my back was like locked up.
I've had many back problems. Like the fact that you even played.
Yeah.
I battled, especially with the Clippers, like my first 2 years with the Clippers, I had a bunch of back problems And there were games where I was like, all right, I can compensate enough to play.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was my spine wasn't curved. You know
what I mean? Everybody was pretty surprised that I played. I was surprised that I played. But, you know, any other circumstances, I'm not playing. Like, if it's a regular season game, I'm not playing. Like, pretty much anything besides the playoffs, you know, I'm not playing. But, I mean, just to be out there, provide floor spacing, obviously, you know, they were keying in on me after the big series I had against Minnesota. So it opened the floor up for Ja to go to work and everybody else to do their thing. So, I mean, just getting up and down the floor. And Klay Thompson really wasn't being too aggressive in those first two games either until they got back to Golden State. And then that's when, you know, chasing him around and stuff became a little tough. But, yeah, so that was kind of the story of that.
Tommy, I want Desmond to answer this question because I your question is a great question because I was never great at the compensation part. And Tommy and I have spoken about this offline, and I've probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but my last year dealing with an Achilles injury was all about compensation. And I shot 37% from three, but every single game, it did not feel like myself. And I'm very curious how you were able to still shoot 49% from three with a bad back.
Yeah. Well, first off, my attempts went down those couple games. I was barely like, I'm only shooting if I'm wide open, you know, no movement, no, none of that. You know, and I mean, I don't know. I've always been the kid that's just shoot the ball. You know, I never really had a shooting coach. Everybody always used to tell me my form was a little wacky and it looks
crazy, it is.
But yeah, everybody's always like, it goes in. So just keep shooting it. So I just, and that's regardless, you know, my toes sore, shoot the ball, my back sore, shoot the ball, whatever, just shoot the ball.
I want to point out, because I looked up your stats as well from your first year going against Utah. Mm-hmm. In the playoffs for your career, granted, like, you're not 10 years in, so maybe there's a little bit of regression here, but for your career, you've shot 100 threes and you've made 49 of them. You're 49% in three series in the playoffs, which most people, their percentages dip, especially a shooter that actually has attention. I actually want to segue now, bringing that up into sort of your growth this year. And I had texted you prior to your injury about that because I think what I've seen is the off the dribble game, especially pull up threes. Those numbers are great, but the playmaking is really fascinating to me. The half court pick and roll playmaking. Did that development happen naturally? Is there a guy on the player development side for Memphis that helped you with that? Is it film? Is it just an opportunity? How did you sort of make this jump this year in playmaking?
I think it's honestly a combination of all those things. I mean, at TCU, I just was never asked to be a playmaker really until my senior year. You know, I mean, we had Jalen Fisher and Alex Robinson at the time, who were good guards, you know, especially for college, break down the defense. So I was just kind of catch and shoot guy. And once I got here to the Grizzlies, they were like, you know, we want you to do everything, you know, cutter, playmaker, shooter, defender, rebound, run the floor, you know, just be an all around guy. And, you know, my first year, I kind of played that same spot up role. And last year, you saw my role increase a little bit. And in the playoffs, it showed that, you know, we need another playmaker out there. I mean, Ja, obviously, in the Minnesota series, was getting blitzed every time he's in a pick and roll, which, you know, as a shooter, is nice for you because now the defense is asked to rotate all around the floor and I'm getting catch and shoot threes. But against Golden State, you know, they're just loading up, you know, on Ja and then really no shift off of me. So we need another guy that can break down the defense, allow Ja to get off the ball and get into some other action. So, I mean, when I tell you all I did was pick and roll and off the dribble threes the whole summer, like every day I knew exactly what I was doing when I went into the gym. Like I started ball handling, do some finishing, and then get in a live pick and roll play, like five or six bodies, like guy guarding me, setting the screen, a guy in drop coverage and another guy at the rim. You know, and I work on different reads, whether it's passing, finishing at the rim, mid-range, off the dribble threes. And that was just, that was my summer. And, you know, I had the opportunity, coach had already sat me down and told me, you know, kind of the plan for this year, wanted to kind of unleash me on the offensive end. So, you know, it all just kind of came together.
OM3 fans, I need to tell you about the most comfortable pants out there. They're from Vuori, and they're magnificent. I'm not kidding. Jason told me about them. He called them butter on your legs. Vuori provides a new perspective on performance apparel, perfect if you are sick and tired of traditional old workout gear. Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. So comfortable, you will want to wear it all the time, and I do. Honestly, it's comfier than whatever you're wearing right now. Now, the pants I mentioned up top is called the Men's Sunday Performance Jogger. Grab yourself a pair. It'll change your life. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/JJ. That's Vuori.com/JJ. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/JJ and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
There's no pressure here, Desmond. There's no pressure, but my whole thesis last year during the playoffs, because I get asked to do this now, was you guys needed a secondary creator in the half court. And that's part of the reason that I am particularly bullish on you. Are you, in terms of the one dribble pull-ups, because pre-injury the numbers were insane. Are you a 1-2 guy or a hop guy? Like, how do you use that? Because I mixed it up some.
Yeah.
But I be honest with you, and Jamal Crawford and I used to talk about this all the time. I was so much more of a hop guy where you kind of extended the dribble out and went and got it. So you got it almost like a pass. Is that
for sure? Yeah. I've watched, it's crazy. In college, I watched a lot of your film because I was like a guy that Coach Miller, Ryan or Mike Miller's brother, he was my coach at TCU, thought that I could, you know, we run floppy action and all type of stuff like that. So we watch a lot of your stuff. But I honestly like the 1-2. I just been like a 1-2 guy. I mean, I will hop on 2 feet every once in a while, but I'm more like a 1-2.
Yeah, your 1-2 going left, especially, is way better than I. For some reason, when I did the 1-2 going left, it was always leaning or off balance. Like, because again, it's the short arm brotherhood. You know what I mean? Like, I was always so worried about that rear view contest.
I feel you. I mean, that's something that I struggle with still to this day. Like, especially for some reason, I feel it more on my mid-range jumpers than my threes. Like, on my mid-range jumpers, I like to jump and hang in the air a little bit. So I feel like that guy's getting over the screen. He's going to be able to get a fingertip on it or get a good contest. So I just keep falling. Like, I'll just keep falling. But a three, I don't know. I just feel like I get it off. And, I mean, so when you got a guy like Steven Adams screening for you, it don't take much to get a look.
Desmond, did Jakob Poeltl do anything personal to Ja?
That's a good question. You would think so. I mean, the way Ja Morant attacked him, but that's San Antonio for years, you know, drop the big all the way under the basket and try to make you take mid-range jump shots. Ja just going to eat up that space. And once he gets to 2 feet, it's over with.
Desmond, we want to be very sensitive to your time because I know you guys have a Tillman's birthday is tonight, and we want to make sure you get to his birthday party on time. I do have to ask you though, in a fight between you and Jordan Clarkson, who's winning?
I don't even think it's a question. Like, I don't even think that is like a question. Like, I think Jordan Clarkson's not really a fighter type. You know, he's thrown up his fist.
He's squared up a lot, though.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's like 0-4 so far. 4-0, no punches.
I was going to ask you, why do you think that people keep trying to fight you? You're big as shit. Like, you're not the guy that I'd want to fight.
I don't know. I'm not even trying to pick fights out here either. I'm just playing basketball.
He's the quiet linebacker. Yeah. So Jordan hits you across the head, and you obviously turn to him. For the fan in that moment, real talk, not like I'm going to fight. Like,
for sure.
What is going through your head? Do you want clarification of why he hit you in the head? Like, yeah, what is going like
I just had to turn. Like, I turned immediately to just kind of see, like, check his energy just to see, like, did you mean to foul me? Like, did you mean to hit me over the head? Like, and then once he squared up, like, I was like, okay, he meant that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm walking towards him, but there's already 20 people in between both of us. So it's just like, I didn't really understand. What squaring up was going to do, but yeah, I was confused.
That's amazing. It's amazing. By the way, we love Jordan Clarkson.
Great
fans
player,
of Jordan. Like, he's a baller.
Sure.
He's a hooper. He's
for
a bucket,
sure.
All
he
that
can
stuff.
Hoop.
It just,
he can hoop. Yeah.
It is funny because there was a nice montage that someone put on Twitter of all the times since going back to the Lakers days that he squared up on people. And it was an entertaining video. That's all I'm saying. It was entertaining. I personally wouldn't pick a fight with you. I wouldn't pick a fight with you. Desmond, we appreciate the time, brother. Go to your teammate's birthday. We appreciate it. And we're pulling for you, bro.
Thanks,
appreciate
bro.
Y'all having See you me. Soon.
If you like The Old Man of the Three, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Yo, Trey.
Kevin, what's up, man?
You know, I've been thinking, what would have happened if the NBA never vetoes the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers and we get CP3 in the same backcourt as Kobe in LA?
Well, you get a very happy Jack Nicholson, for sure.
And the Lakers probably win a bunch more championships. CP3 finally gets a ring or two or three. And the Kardashian empire is forever altered.
What did you just say? Hey, everybody, I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier, and we're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass
or play call. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that saved Abercrombie? Or which real tech acquisition is like Game of Thrones? Or the one financial equation that can finally solve climate change? Then check out the Daily News podcast, The Best One Yet. Every morning on The Best One Yet, hosts Nick and Jack serve up three of the most interesting business news stories and why you need to know them in just 20 minutes. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies, you're going for that promotion at work, or you just want to know the trends before your friends, be in the know this year by starting your morning with The Best One Yet every weekday. Follow The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.